Good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to have you joining us this morning by way of this broadcast. I trust that we will have a blessed time together as we worship the Lord and learn from His Word. This morning for a scripture reading, I would like to turn to Isaiah 55. If you have your Bible, you can grab that and turn with me to Isaiah 55, and we're going to be reading verses 6 through 9. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. As we think about the passage of scripture we've just read here from Isaiah 55, noticing verse 6, God says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." I am so thankful that at this time we do have a God who is near, a God who we can reach out to, and who cares for us. This morning, we are going to be having a special speaker be joining us by way of this broadcast. And we had evangelist Jeff Farnham scheduled prior to all of this virus coming upon us. He was going to be in North Dakota here and was going to be with us this Sunday. But he's not here physically, but he's going to join us by way of a special recording that he has prepared for this time together, especially for us at Victory Baptist Church. And so you'll want to follow along in the Bible as he preaches this morning. And the title of his message is Strong Faith, Strong Faith. And as we contemplate the scripture we've just read, we can really see that God wants us to turn to him, to look to him. Throughout the Bible, we see this truth that God calls us unto himself. And so here he says, "Seek ye, well I may be found." And then in verse 7, he says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We have a God who is approachable because of the death of Christ and his glorious resurrection, which we celebrated last Sunday and which we celebrate every Sunday. For on this first day of the week, we even meet because of the risen Christ, because he has defeated sin, our sin. And so God calls the wicked to forsake their way. He calls the unrighteous to forsake their thoughts and to return unto the Lord. Verse 8, the Lord tells us, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I don't understand all the things that God is doing and all the why he's allowing so much turmoil in our world. But one thing I know, turmoil is a result of our sin. Mankind is diseased with sin. But I am sure thankful that Jesus is the answer. We can turn to him. We can look to him. He cares for us. And, Abraham, pictured in that artist's drawing here above, Abraham was a man who the Bible says had strong faith. He was a man of faith. And we're going to be looking at that here this morning. I'd like to share just another portion of scripture out of the book of Psalms. Psalm 46 here this morning. Psalm 46. And we're going to look at verse 1 and 2 and then down a little bit at verse 10. All right. Psalm 46, verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. God is a very present help in trouble, as the Bible says here. A refuge and strength God is for us. And that's a wonderful truth, wonderful reality. And I hope that in these days you're drawing close to the Lord. Notice down in verse 10, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." I want to encourage you in these days to find quiet time. I know that situations are different in each of our families and those joining us by way of this broadcast. I know that there's different scenarios. Some of you are very busy, have a lot going on. Some of you don't have a lot going on and you're, you know, climbing up the walls. But I want to encourage you to draw near to the Lord. And as we hear this message on strong faith, please give your attention as Brother Farnham preaches the word here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the place of prayer. Thank you that we can bring our needs and burdens to you. Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for the time that we can spend here now in your word. Thank you for Brother Farnham and his faithfulness and his dear wife as well. I just pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word. And I pray that our hearts would be stirred, that our faith would be increased. Lord, we thank you for this. We do pray for our nation. We pray for our president and those in his leadership team and on the coronavirus task force and all of these things. Lord, we lift them up. We pray for wisdom for them and that they would seek you. And as the beginnings of the country to open up in these coming days, Lord, we do pray that you would be gracious to us, merciful to us, Lord. Pray that you'd cleanse us of our sin. Help many people, as we read in Isaiah 55, to return unto the Lord, there would be a reviving, Lord, of your spirit, of your people across this land. And may it be also at Victory Baptist Church. Lord, even though we haven't been gathering together in public gatherings during these last month, but Lord, in these ways, I pray that you would revive our hearts, that you draw us nearer unto yourself, that we would find you to be the refuge you tell us you are, and the strength. Lord, we thank you for this. We pray also for the medical workers who are laboring with patients. Pray for our nursing homes and our local establishment, even here in Harvey, our hospital and nursing home. We just pray your protection. Thank you for the dedicated staff who have been laboring there and who have, we thank you that the virus has not come here, and we pray that it would not. We pray you'd protect us while drawing us close to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for hanging in there. And we are going to be joining now into the message that evangelist Jeff Farnham preached here for us. He preached it at the pulpit where he used to pastor for many years at the LaGrange Baptist Church. Currently, he travels full-time. Well, I shouldn't say currently because of the virus, but he has gone into full-time evangelism as a revivalist to travel around and encourage God's people and preach the gospel, and we're enjoying the opportunity we have here today. Keep your Bible open as we grow in our faith.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today through the abilities of our modern technology. And it's a blessing to have Pastor Paul Dick invite me to be with you and encourage you in the Lord today. We're going to open the service with a song, Living by Faith. Pastor Thurston Jones is going to join me. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith, in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm saved, in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith, and feel no alarms. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side?
Living by faith,
yes, living by faith, in Jesus above,
trusting,
confiding in His great love, yes, in His great love,
from all harm
safe from all harm in His sheltering arms, His sheltering arms. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I know that our Lord will return some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith.
In Jesus above,
trusting, confiding
in His great love.
From all I'm saved
in His sheltering arms,
I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Thank you very much, Brother Jones, and it is good to be with you. As I said, we're going to be looking today at a passage in the book of Romans chapter 4, and also a corresponding passage in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Romans chapter 4 and a corresponding passage in Hebrews chapter 11 in a message that I've entitled Strong Faith. Hebrews chapter 4, and we will look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank Thee today that there is a resource in Jesus Christ, that we have faith, that faith first and foremost to save our souls. And then, Father, once we're saved, a faith to believe God, a faith to lay hold of God, a faith to trust in His promises. I ask today that the Spirit of God would fill me in spite of me. I take from Thee, O Father, and I know that Thou dost undertake for me. I'm asking in Jesus' name that those who hear this message would be helped and encouraged, and that God would be glorified, and we ask it in the name and authority of the risen Christ. Amen. These are certainly days of strange goings on. These are certainly days in which people are wondering, what is God doing? These are days in which even the saints of God are scratching their heads a little bit and wondering, how is this all going to turn out? I would encourage you today that living by faith is just that, wondering how it's all going to turn out. If it were something we could see, it would not be faith. Because the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And therefore, our ability to see things eliminates faith. Our ability not to see things eliminates sight. And if the just shall live by faith, and if it is impossible to please Him without faith, then it is a good thing that God has thrust our nation, it is a good thing that God has thrust us as individuals into the throes of some perhaps unsettling days. Abraham is often called the father of faith. And if you study the life of Abraham, you will discover that he was a normal human being. That said, let me define what I mean by a normal human being. He was a man who had times of weak faith. That made him a normal human being. A normal believer, that is. There are times in the life of any person when faith is weak, when trust is thin, and when hope perhaps might even be gone. But in Abraham's life, there were also times of strong faith. I contrast those two terms, weak faith and strong faith, because God contrasts them here for us in Romans 4, 19, and being not weak in faith, Romans 4, 20, but was strong in faith. I want to talk today about the time in Abraham's life, or times, plural, I should say, when his faith was strong. Times when his faith was strong. Because number one, strong faith believes God for the impossible. Notice what verse 17 of our text in Romans 4 says. As it is written, I have made thee a father. Okay, we could stop right there. Because up to that point in Abraham's life, his wife Sarah had been barren. But God said, I have made thee a father. Not just a father of one child, but a father of many nations. Something absolutely impossible. There is no way in the world that one single man whose wife cannot have any children can be a father, period. Much less the father of many nations. Strong faith believes God for the impossible. And God took him out and one night and he said, if you can count the stars, if you can number them, so shall thy seed be. And the Bible says, and Abraham, what? Believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. What an amazing thought that something impossible did not trouble Abraham that day. Not only does God make that specific promise to Abraham of something impossible, but the verse goes on and says, even God who quickeneth the dead. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday, the Sunday in which Christians all over the world, even our president, made a very encouraging and convincing Easter message. I'm so very grateful that we have people in what we would call, according to the Bible, high places who will at least support and tolerate, if not completely embrace, the Christian faith. Our president made strong acknowledgement of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm encouraged by that. But do you realize quickening the dead is impossible? Do you realize that when the devil saw the Lord die on the cross, he thought that's it. He thought it was over. He thought it was done because he wasn't even thinking of rising, of Jesus rising from the dead. You see, it's impossible to quicken the dead. It's absolutely beyond any of us. I've been to many funerals in my life, and I've been to some funerals of people I didn't know well, but I've also been to some funerals of people I did know well and people that I loved dearly. And as I walked down the aisle of a funeral home or a church toward the casket, in my mind I'm thinking, I wish he or she would just sit up. I wish I could go touch the casket like Jesus did outside the city of Nain, and the person would sit up, and I could deliver this loved one to his family. But you see, in the face of death, we are powerless. We are powerless. Raising the dead is impossible. And then the Bible says in verse 17, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And here's the other thing that's impossible. Not just for Abraham to be a father when his wife couldn't have a child. Not just for the raising of the dead, but for creation itself. God calls things that aren't as though they were. He said, before there was ever light, he said, let there be light. And he called it forth, something out of nothing. And God created this earth and all the universe and all of creation in six literal 24-hour days. Somebody said, there's no way he could have done it in that short length of time. Somebody else said, I wonder why it took him so long. You see, God can do the impossible. God could have created a million such universes. God could create 1,000 earths. God can speak and have it be done. Strong faith does not look at the situations of life and say, I think I could figure that out so I can trust God to do it. Strong faith looks at the situations of life and says, there's no way in the world. So God, here I am. I'm your child down here, and I'm appealing to you to do the impossible. Number two, not only does strong faith believe God for the impossible, but number two, in our text, strong faith focuses upon God's resources. When I think of the story of Gabriel visiting Mary, my heart wants to kind of skip a beat. Like the babe that leaped in Elizabeth's womb. My heart just wants to say, what? Are you serious? And here is this young woman, the handmaid of the Lord, and she's just minding her own business, living her life, and Gabriel appears and gives her this wonderful greeting, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. And Mary is kind of taken back by that, like, really? Okay. And the Lord begins to tell this beautiful young woman, this virgin, that she's going to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And Mary has never known of this happening, and there has never been any history of it. And she asked, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel then went on to say, look, you don't have to worry about your resources. I'm not going to use man's resources. No, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the power of the highest is going to overshadow you, and that which is conceived in thee will be of the Holy Ghost. She never questioned it. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. If that's what you're going to do, then that's what you're going to do. Mary had full confidence in the resources of God. And we see Abraham here in verse 18, not looking at his own resources. Notice the Bible says, Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, notice, he considered not his own body now dead. He didn't look at his own resources. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't look at her resources. He wasn't looking at human resources. No, he was looking at God's resources. He was looking at something God could do. And God and two angels visited him in the heat of the day. And he was sitting in the shade of the tree there by the tent door. And the angels went on their way towards Sodom, as it were. But God stood there and talked with Abraham. And he told him, about this time next year, your wife's going to have a son. It's going to happen. Now is the time. I know I told you years ago. I know I gave you that promise years ago. Abraham, you've been walking with me. And yes, you've had a lapse of faith with Hagar. But guess what? You're still walking with me. And guess what? I know your faith is strong today. And I know that you're going to trust me. Because you're not looking at your own resources anymore. Oh, listen, we can look at our resources. We can look at our financial resources. We can look at the resources of our natural talents. We can look at perhaps the resources of some skill that wasn't natural to us, but we learned it along the way. We can look perhaps at our education. We can look perhaps at the resources of our own soul, our own makeup. Some people just, they're the type of person, never met a stranger. They walk into a crowd and within 5 minutes, they're everybody's best friend. We can look at our own resources. And you know, our own resources will carry us a little way. But our own resources will not accomplish anything to God's glory. Notice verse 20 says that Abraham staggered not. Now, you know what it means to stagger. You lose your footing and you almost fall. Abraham didn't lose his footing this time. He didn't almost fall. He was strong in faith. Notice, giving glory to God. Strong faith gives glory to God. Strong faith gives glory to God because it believes God for the impossible. Strong faith gives glory to God because it focuses upon God's resources and doesn't even give a fig about man's resources. We can see that concept picked up in Hebrews 11. By faith, the Bible says, or through faith, excuse me, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? How? Because she judged him faithful that had promised. You see, it wasn't just Abraham that had strong faith at this time. It was Sarah also. And I want you to see here today that a man can have faith by himself, a woman can have faith by herself, but it's a wonderful thing when a couple has strong faith. That's a wonderful thing. It isn't good for man to be alone, and sometimes a man has to walk alone. I don't think it's good for many women to be alone, but sometimes a woman has to walk alone. I don't think it's good for children to be left all to themselves. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame, but there are children that I've known that had to walk alone in their faith. Because there wasn't anybody to encourage. There wasn't anyone else in the family who said, we are going to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We're going to walk with God. We're going to follow him and live for him. Nobody else in the family was interested. And I know some children that had to walk alone. Strong faith honors God. Strong faith glorifies God. And it believes God for the impossible. Number two, it focuses on God's resources. I want to go a little step farther now in Hebrews chapter 11. Strong faith obeys God when the pathway is unknown. If you're in Hebrews chapter 11 now, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, notice, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He obeyed and he went out. He said, Sarah, he said to the rest of his family, he gathered his servants around, he gathered his household, and he said, we're picking up the tents, yank up the pegs, fold up the tents, we're moving. Where are we going? I don't know. Well, why are we going? Because God said so. Strong faith does not wait for the whole pathway to be clear before it starts. I see strong faith in so many places in the Bible. I see Joshua about to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was overflowing its banks, so it was extra wide at that time of year, and it was extra deep in the middle. And so there is Joshua, and there's the nation of Israel, and they're on the east side of Jordan, getting ready to pass over to the west side and claim the promised land. Everybody lines up and they're kept back many, many cubits back behind the priests carrying the Ark of God because they haven't passed that way at any time previously. And you know what? The water didn't start separating for them when they were 1,000 feet from shore. It didn't start opening up and beginning to roll back when they were 500 feet or even 100 feet. No, you know what had to happen? The priests had to get their feet in the water. And then, the Bible says something, and if you want to talk about the impossible, the water piled up. I have never seen that, and I'm not even going to bother to try because you can't do it. But God can pile water if he wants to. And the water piled up, and the water that was already that far downstream flowed away, and they walked right across the Jordan River on dry land. You know how that happened? They obeyed God when they didn't know the pathway. And Abraham did that. Abraham went out into a country that later, afterward, he would receive as an inheritance. And he obeyed and he did not know where he was going. He was just going to follow God. I think of the wise men whom we associate with the early childhood of Jesus Christ traveling from the east. You know what they did? They followed a star. They didn't know exactly where they were going. They got to Jerusalem, which would be the natural place to go. It's the capital city. They began to inquire around and somebody came up with the brilliant idea that, well, that would be in Bethlehem because there was one of the prophets that told about that. And so off they went to Bethlehem and the star was there. And I'm telling you, they didn't know exactly how it would turn out. And if you study the Bible, you're going to see that nobody really knew how it would turn out. What does James say about knowing how things are going to turn out? He says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And everything else is boasting. Go to, he said, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. I want to say that any time we obey God without knowing the future, we're displaying strong faith. That's what Abraham did. He obeyed. Do you realize that God does not open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing of tithing until after a man starts tithing? Do you realize that the blessings that are associated with church attendance do not come until people start attending church? Do you realize that the blessing of a godly, moral, and spiritual marriage, those blessings don't come until there is a godly, spiritual, and moral marriage? Do you realize that the blessings of a strong family do not come until there is a purpose of heart to have a strong family? You don't wait for things to turn out and then decide to obey God. No, you obey God and then things turn out. That's how God does it. I will go on, number four today. Not only does strong faith believe God for things that are completely impossible. Number two, does it not just believe God by focusing on God's resources? Number three, strong faith obeys God when the pathway is completely unknown. But number four, strong faith sojourns in the new country. Look, if you will, at Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10. By faith, this is still Abraham. Hebrews 11, 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. In other words, he went through culture shock. In a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Now, what that tells is that he did this for a long time. Because when he first got to the promised land, Isaac wasn't born. And neither was Jacob. So the idea is that this was a lifelong pursuit for Abraham, because he did it all those years before Isaac was born, and then he did it after Isaac was born, and then it were another 60 years before Jacob was born. He did it for his whole life, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, verse 9, still the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Skip a few verses and go to verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Abraham was looking for a city. He was looking for a country. A country, verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Oh, listen, weak faith is always looking for a way to go back to the old country. You go with the children of Israel in the land, in the wilderness, and every time some little thing came up, listen to the broken record. Let's just go, oh, we wish we could go back to Egypt. Oh, remember the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the flesh pots. And oh, remember how wonderful it was to be slaves and be beaten every day? Wasn't that just wonderful? We wish we could go back to that. Weak faith. And God would supply their needs again and again and again and again and again. But they always wanted to go back to the old country. You know, I know people that get saved and they're very glad to be saved, but I have what they call fire escape religion, because they want to go back to the old jokes, and they want to go back to the old haunts, and they want to go back to the old friends, and they want to go back to the old ways, and they want to go back to the old life, because, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven when I die, but you only go around once. Got to give it all the gusto you can. And they live their, quote, Christian life in an unchristian manner, because they're always looking back at the old country. Do you realize there's nothing wrong with a bit of nostalgia and sentiment? And there's nothing wrong with having a precious memory. But we have to learn something as God's people. We learn from the past, we live in the present, and we look to our potential. Those who live in the past never go anywhere. Abraham and others like him sojourned in the new country. They said, this is what God has, and here we go. I cannot comment on every person's Christian life, but I have seen classifications of people. I've observed that there are people who get saved and take off. I tell you, it's like the runway is 10 feet and the rest of their life is flight. They love God. They're serving God. They're excited about the things of God. And they don't land until God calls them home. I've seen other people get saved and they don't even get out of the gate. The plane just sits there. It has all the energy, but the engines aren't started, and they do nothing with their Christian life. There are other people that get out of the taxi, out of the gate, and back out of the taxiway, and go down the tarmac, and get all lined up ready for takeoff, and that's where they sit. They don't do anything. I have watched that now for years, and I want to say that strong faith goes after the new country. Strong faith says, you know what, I used to, but not anymore. Oh yes, I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore. I didn't used to do that, but now I do. Strong faith loves the new country. Strong faith is looking for a city that has foundations. And if you go to the book of Revelation, you'll find out there's a city that has foundations. Amen. And his builder and maker is God. And it's going to come down from God out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. Abraham was looking for that. David looked for that. Daniel looked for that. Esther looked for that. And Ruth looked for that, and Abigail looked for that, and all of the great heroes of the faith have looked for it, and I'm looking for it. Speaking of Ruth, think of the story of Ruth and Orpah. Naomi was grieving. Naomi was basically lamenting the fact that the hand of the Lord had gone out against her. And because of that, both Ruth and Orpah, who were probably still in their teen years when they became widows the first time, were widows because the hand of the Lord had gone out against Naomi. And so Naomi is going back to Bethlehem, Judah now, and Ruth and Orpah walk with her. And I don't know, perhaps they got to the edge of the county. Perhaps they got to a certain landmark. Perhaps they even got to the border between Moab and Israel. And Naomi turned around. She said, "Go up, go back, girls. Go back to the house of your mother, and God provide you with husbands and security there. And go back to your culture and go back to your gods." Here is somebody who believes in Jehovah telling two girls to go back to their idols. Phenomenal. And they said, "Oh, no. We'll go with you." And Naomi goes a little farther, and she said, "Look, girls, I'm too old to have a husband. But if I could have a husband tonight and have a child, would you wait for him to grow up to be your husband?" And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and went back to the old country. But Ruth clave unto her. Her words in the book of Ruth chapter 1 to me are some of the sweetest words in the Bible. "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. Where thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people will be my people, and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, there will I die, and there will I be buried. God, do so to me and more also, if aught but death part me from thee." And when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her to the new country, she left off speaking to her. Would to God that we would have some new country-minded people, because I'll tell you, strong faith loves the new country. Number 5, strong faith dies with some promises that don't materialize. Look, if you will, at Hebrews 11, my favorite verse in Hebrews 11, verse 13. "These all," meaning all the people listed up to this point, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, these all, and then Isaac and Jacob were also mentioned, these all. And we could say that in the millennia of time that have passed, many, many thousands and millions of others have died. Notice the word doesn't say "in the faith," meaning saved. Verse 13 doesn't say they all died in the faith. Verse 13 says they all died in faith. That means right up to the very end, even though there were certain promises that they had never seen come to fruition, they still believed God on their deathbeds. "These all died in faith," verse 13, "not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." You know what they were saying? They were saying, "I'm not entitled." You know what they were saying? They're saying, "God is not in debt to me." I will tell you by way of personal testimony that if God never answers another prayer that I pray, he will not be in debt to me. I can tell you by word of testimony that if nothing ever happens good in my life for the rest of my days, God will not be indebted to me. God has already done more good for me than I deserve. And according to the words of Ezra, he has punished me less than my iniquities deserve. Oh, listen, folks. There are going to be some things that don't happen until after I die. unless the Lord comes and we all go up together. There will be things that happen after the death of a faithful man or woman of God. There are prayers that some men have prayed for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and they go home to heaven, and after they're gone, the prayer gets answered. There are promises in the Word of God that we are not going to see down here. We're going to see them up there. And it's about a heavenly mindset. It's about strong faith that believes God. And the Bible says here, seeing things afar off, believing that they're out there, even though they're not clear right now. They're kind of dim. You know, something is hundreds of miles away and you can't really see it very clearly. If you're up in an airplane and you're 6, 7, 8 miles above the earth and you look down, you can't see things very clearly. Is that a road or a river? What is that? What do I see down there? Everything kind of loses its three-dimensional look, and you can be flying over a mountain range and it looks just kind of weird, but it's hard to see the three dimensions, hard to see the altitude. You see them far off and be persuaded. Just look ahead and say, okay, it hasn't happened yet. You know, one of the problems with this day and age in which we live, these last days, are days of scoffers. That's what Peter told us. In the last days, scoffers will rise. People that look at the Bible and their whole attitude is, yeah, the Bible, that's a book of myths. One of the old preachers used to say, if I thought the Bible was full of myths, I'd be mythified, myth-taken, and mitherable. Yeah, it's the truth, folks. It's the truth. They didn't see the promises very clearly. They saw them afar off. They were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. They took them as if they were their own. And said, I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm just a wayfaring pilgrim. I'm not going to settle here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Paul said it in Philippians, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior. There's one of those promises. We haven't received it yet. We see it afar off. We're persuaded of it, and we embrace it. But you know, thousands of years of God's people have died without seeing the Lord's return. Our generation may be the generation to see that. But I still, whether I go the valley of the shadow of death or whether I'm caught up in the clouds, will not cause me to stop believing that Jesus is coming again. Because I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim. Strong faith dies without some promises fulfilled. And finally today, I want us to look at the verse 17 in our text. By faith Abraham, we're in Hebrews 11. When he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. The sixth thing that we see about strong faith in Romans 4 and Hebrews 11 is this. Strong faith expects a good outcome from a hard experience. In the Old Testament, God said, I would give you honey out of the rock. Now, I've seen a lot of rocks in my life, and I've picked them up and squeezed them, and I've never gotten any honey out of them. Because that's not a literal statement. It's a figurative statement. And honey is sweet and rocks are hard. And God gives sweet things out of hard things. God will give you a good outcome from a hard experience. I can testify to that. I don't have time in this message to run through all the different ways that God has brought precious, wonderful, good outcomes to the glory of God out of hard experiences. But strong faith expects a good outcome. When Abraham and Isaac were walking up to Mount Moriah, where God would offer Isaac as a sacrifice, Isaac even brought up the subject. Here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb? And without missing a beat, Abraham said, "Oh, don't worry about that. God's going to provide a lamb." Well, that was true that day, but it was true many years later when God provided the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And God has provided a lamb. Strong faith expects a good outcome from a hard experience. You know, weak faith expects a good outcome from the fun times. Strong faith believes a good outcome from the hard times. Weak faith will always look around and say, "Oh, look, isn't this wonderful? And isn't that wonderful? And isn't God good?" But strong faith can say, "Oh, my goodness, look at this. Oh, what are we going to do? This is hard. This is difficult. This hurts. But you know what? We're looking beyond it. God is something better. There will be a good outcome someday." Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good." And I've seen it with a period right there. I've seen it on posts, and I've seen it on billboards, and I've seen it on people's bumper stickers, and I've seen it. All things work together for good, period. But you see, that is not the truth of God. That's only a portion of it. God says there are two conditions before anyone ever sees that all things work together for good. Number one, it's to them that love God, because there isn't a period after good, there's a comma. And you have to be somebody that loves God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. You have to love God first and most and best. And when you love God that way, you will see all things, good things, hard things, fun things, difficult things, you'll see them all working together for good. And then he says, to them that are the called according to his purpose. You have to be in his will, for lack of long time to explain that. Those who are called according to his purpose, those who have seen God has a plan for me, and I'm going to fulfill it, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And those people who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and who fit into God's will and find God's plan for their lives, will be the ones that can say, "You know, everything has worked out for good. And the hard things have turned out good." And those are the people like Joseph who come to the end of their lives and they say, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Strong faith believes God for the impossible, focuses upon God's resources, obeys God when the pathway is unknown, sojourns in the new country, dies without some promises fulfilled, and number six, expects a good outcome even from hard experiences. I would say that strong faith is the vehicle that in which you ride as you travel the road of life on the way to heaven. Strong faith will take you through today. And when today is over, it'll take you through tomorrow. And when tomorrow is over, it'll take you through the next day. And strong faith will buoy you up when the waves are the most boisterous. And strong faith will fly your kite. Strong faith will hold your hand. Strong faith will guide your blind eyes. Strong faith will be a familiar tune in your deaf ears. Strong faith will take you through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, how we thank thee today that thou hast even dreamed up such a thing as faith, that thou hast made it possible for us to believe, not just based on what we've already seen, but Father, the ability to believe because we know who thou art. I pray that you will strengthen the faith of each person. I pray that you'll help us see that every one of these 6 points, every one of them, is within the realm of potential for any child of God. Any one of us can believe thee for the impossible, Lord. Any one of us can focus upon your resources. Father, any one of us can obey you, even when we can't see the path. Any one of us can stay in the new country. Any one of us, Father, may come to death with some promises not fulfilled. And any one of us can expect a good outcome from a hard experience. We don't have to be Bible college graduates, Lord. We don't have to be preachers and missionaries. We don't have to have been saved for 30 years or 50. We can trust you this way at any point of life. Oh, Father, give us strong faith so that we will give glory to thee. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord, Brother Farnham. I sure appreciate you sharing God's word with us today. That is a real challenge to my faith, to draw near to the Lord. Do you have strong faith? Will you trust the Lord to go even where you don't know all of the information yet? Will you be unfaithful? Let's follow the Lord together. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being a part of Victory Baptist Church. And may you have a blessed week.